Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
So we just finished up a series called The Word of God Is, and I've been seeking the Lord on what he would have us go into next, and I've been praying, and for some time now, ever since the building project actually started, I feel like the Lord has been dealing with me about going back and speaking about vision, to speak about the vision of this church, the vision that God has given Amanda and I for this community and this church, but I've been waiting to have his release to speak it, and so now that we're getting pretty close to transitioning from this building to our new church building right up the road, right off 41 here. If you haven't seen it, you go through the red light here right on 41. Once you pass Food Line, you pass that tree line in Uthkaluga Creek, right there on the right, the industrial part. You'll see the construction site. You can't miss it, off 41. And our plan, as everything goes to plan, is to be there December 7th. That'll be our first service there, so... So I've been wanting to talk about this vision that God's given us, and I'm not going to be able to do that in 1 week. I'm going to do this in a very extended way in through weeks of sermons. So we're starting a new series today called Vision. But before we can ever really talk about the vision that God has given us for this church, and before we can ever really talk about the vision he's given us for this community, we must all first see and realize that our Heavenly Father has a vision for us individually, right? He has a vision and he has a purpose for you and me personally, and we got to know that. So we're going to start out this vision series, and we're going to talk about what the Father sees for you, or how the Father sees you, okay? And it all starts and it all ends with the Word of God, amen? Everything we believe is found and grounded in the Word. So, we couldn't get a better and more perfect example than Jesus Christ himself. So I just want to start out, I want to read 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. This is John the Apostle speaking, the disciple of Jesus. He said, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life." He's talking about Jesus. So John is saying, look, I walked with him, I talked with him, I lived with him, I did ministry with him. Right? That's what he's saying. I did all this with Jesus. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. When you really begin to see and realize that God, how God sees you, and that he has a vision for you, I'll tell you, it'll fill your heart and it'll fill your life with joy. So he said, I'm writing these things to you, one who's walked with him, one who's talked with him as he did his earthly ministry. And we're writing all these things, all these testimonies, and all this gospel, and all this good news. We're writing it to you so that your joy may be full, so you can know he's got a plan for you, okay? So I'm going to start out today, and I'm simply just going to talk about the story of Jesus, okay? And my prayer is that through his story, through the story of Jesus Christ, you and I are going to be able to see and understand that the Father, the Heavenly Father, has vision for our lives, and we will know how much he actually really loves and cares for us. Okay? So I'm gonna start out, and I'm gonna start with the coming of Christ. I'm gonna talk about his birth. I know this is like Christmas in August, but guess what? We don't just talk about the birth of Jesus in December. It's part of the gospel, and so we can talk about it anytime. So we're gonna talk about his birth. And then we're going to talk about his life, and hopefully that'll help us understand the love and the care that God the Father had for Jesus, he also has for you, right? To see that his love was manifested in Jesus, but it was manifested in Jesus for us to see that he loves us. And then to know that as God loved and cared, God the Father loved and cared for Jesus, so he also loved and cares for you, okay? So here's my first point. The Father protected Jesus. God the Father protected Jesus, and he will protect you, okay? So in Matthew chapter 1, we have the account of the birth of Jesus Christ. I'm just going to read Matthew 1. I'm going to read verses 18 and 19. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly." So a lot of times we often focus on the virgin birth and we single out Mary, the mother of Jesus, and rightly so, okay? Because that is just a really miraculous part of the gospel. And really, it was one of the first signs of care that God the Father showed for Jesus, who is the Son of God, who would come through the virgin birth and not through the seed of man who lived in a fallen state of sin. Okay? So the first Adam in Genesis, right? He disobeyed God and his word. And that allowed sin to enter into the world. But Adam was, at the beginning of time, go read Genesis 1, right? Beginning of time. Adam was miraculously formed and fashioned and created by God from the dust of the ground. And now here is Jesus who comes by the virgin birth, right? He's known as the second Adam. And he defeated sin, and he brought life, and he brought righteousness back to mankind. Here he was. God sent him through a virgin birth, which was formed and fashioned miraculously through the Holy Spirit. So the virgin birth with Mary is amazing. It's miraculous, and it's all these great things. But I got to say, let's not forget about Joseph, okay? Joseph was in the lineage of King David. And it was said that the Messiah, the Christ, would come through that family line, right? And so we see that God not only chose this woman, but God also chose this man, okay? And Joseph, as we read, he was a just man. That's what the Word of God says. Joseph was a just man. He was a good guy. And he, when he found out that Mary was with child, says he didn't want to make much of a scene with Mary because Joseph didn't really understand how this came to be. That'd be hard for any of us to understand, especially, you know, I'm betrothed, I'm about to marry this woman, and she's pregnant, and I know it ain't mine. And so he's like, I don't know how these things came to be. And so he's unsure how this child came to be that she carried. And so he was taking, it says, the necessary steps or what he thought was necessary to keep her from shame. He didn't agree with what had happened because he was thinking all kind of things. But he didn't want to shame her, and so he was going to keep her from shame. But before he could really make a wrong move and a wrong decision, this is what happened. Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 through 24. "But while Joseph thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream." Okay? Gave him a vision. "Saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you, Mary, your wife, for that which conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The name Jesus, Yeshua, actually means Yahweh saves. Yahweh says, "You shall call his name Yeshua, Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. "Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel, the messenger of the Lord, commanded him, and he took to him his wife." Now, I want to say this. This message that I'm preaching today is for everyone, and I won't get to everyone, but I got to stop right here and take a moment, and I'm going to speak to the men in the house. So hear me out, Dad. Y'all got real quiet. They're like, uh-oh. I like to pick on the men. I hold you to a higher standard. You're the spiritual authority of your home, right? So it's not just me that holds you to a higher standard. It's the Word of God does. Okay? So there's a thing that God wants to do with your family. He wants to do it in your family. And before we make the next move, we actually need to hear from the Holy Spirit Himself. Because we make so many decisions based on what we feel or what we think or what other people say or what other people think. And we never take time as a man of God to take it to prayer. But when Joseph woke up from his sleep, right, the angel of the Lord came, gave him a dream and a vision, right? And it says when he woke up from his sleep, somebody shake the man of God next to you. Just go ahead and shake him, grab him and shake him. Nobody's going to shake the man of God. Y'all don't. Julia is shaking the heck out of Steve. Is he the only one? Somebody shake the man of God next to you. There we go. Now I see a whole lot of shaking going on. All right. So it says he woke up from his sleep, and guess what he did? He did what the Lord asked him to do. Right? And what we see as Joseph obeyed the word of the Lord as the spiritual authority in his home, the hand of the Lord was actually directing the path for his family. And in that process, he was actually protecting Jesus. That's what God the Father was doing. Why was he protecting him? Because there was a purpose that God sent Jesus to do, and the Father was going to make sure that he accomplished everything he sent him to do. So in Matthew chapter 2, you find that after the birth of Jesus, there was wise men from the east that came to worship him, right? And so these wise men are traveling. They come to Judea, and they get to the kingdom of Judea, and they see King Herod, and they say, hey, they'd been studying the prophecy of the star that was given way back in the book of Numbers through Balaam, right? And he says, we've seen the star of him who's born king of the Jews. Where can we find him? And Herod's like, what? He didn't like the mention of another king in his kingdom. And so he said, I'll tell you what. You guys go find him. I don't know where he's at, but you go find him. And when you worship him, bring back word to me so I can come worship him too. Well, we all know, we've read the story. King Herod didn't want to go worship Jesus. He wanted to go kill him, right? He didn't want the threat or even the mention of another king in his kingdom. And so when these wise men started to return back to Herod, an angel of the God appeared and told him, hey, don't go back the way you came. He has bad intentions. They had vision. They were warned through dream or a vision and told not to go back. Then if you continue in Matthew chapter 2, you get to verse 13. God comes to Joseph in a dream and a vision again and tells Joseph what to do with his family. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And so he takes Jesus and Mary. They go to Egypt and they stay. After some time and after the death of King Herod, there's an angel that appears to Joseph yet again in a dream and a vision. And he says, okay, now it's time to go home. Matthew chapter 2, 19 through 23. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose, he took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, another dream and vision, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and he dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. And so what we see is again and again, the Lord is speaking to Joseph through dreams and visions, okay? And through the word of the Lord, Joseph was actually being guided on when to go and when to stay. He was being guided on where to go and where not to go, okay? The Lord was guiding them and leading them every step of the way. So I can't pass this up without saying, mamas and daddies, the purposes and the prophetic lives of the next generation, our children and our children's children, it is directly linked to us seeing the vision of the Lord and obeying His word and doing what He says. There are so many, go ahead, praise Him. There are so many voices that are in this world that will try to sway our decisions for your family. But make sure that the voice you are listening to is His voice above all other voices. Make sure the decisions that you make are based on God's vision for you and your family and not someone else's vision for your family. Because the Father's vision is the one that's the safest and the clearest. Okay? And when we really understand this, that future generations, they lean on what we pass down, that's when Proverbs 29:18 truly comes into greater light and revelation for us. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And unless we unblock our spiritual eyes to see what God is directing us to do, there is another generation whose lives are at stake based on how much we see God. Go read the book of Joshua. And Judges, right? It says, and there arose another generation that did not know the Lord and all the works that He had done. Because they got their eyes off of Him. They stopped talking about Him. They stopped living for Him. I don't want to be so selfish. And I don't want to be so self-centered that I do everything for my benefit and my enjoyment that my children miss out on their spiritual destinies because mama and daddy didn't see what God was trying to show them. Right? I don't want the next generation of spiritual children that will come through this church and this ministry to miss out on their God-given purposes in life because we're a self-centered people. Because we did nothing for them, but we did everything for ourselves. We planned for our own comfortability, our own sake, and we never considered that there's a generation that is coming after us and a generation that's coming after them that we're supposed to be raising up in this world that God could actually use to set this entire world free. I don't know that Mary and Joseph fully understood the magnitude of who Jesus was as a young boy. Yeah, they knew all these miraculous things were happening, but I really don't know that they understood the magnitude of what they had. Yet they still obeyed the voice and the vision of God and no one's else. Okay? Well, once Jesus had grown up a little bit and He had moved into this mode of teaching and speaking, you never really hear of Joseph again, right? But we have this shimmering, shining example of how a father and a husband should lead his family through God's vision and from God's word. Through God's vision and from God's word. So in Luke chapter 2, Mary and Joseph, they're going to Jerusalem to fulfill the feast as they did every year. And on their return trip home, they could not find Jesus anywhere. They thought that He was traveling back with them as they headed back to Nazareth. But as they looked, they thought He may have been with some of the other family and friends because they traveled in caravans at that time because they all traveled to celebrate the feast. And so after some time, they realized, oh, wait, Jesus is not here. He's not with us. He's not with any of the family. We can't find Him. And so when they realized He was not around, they went back to find Him. And when they found Him in the temple of God. And it says that He was asking questions and He was teaching with the wise men of that city. Luke chapter 2, 48 through 50. So when they saw Him, they were amazed. And His mother said to Him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And He said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which He spoke to them. Then He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. He was obedient. But His mother kept all these things in her heart. She may not have fully understood, but she pondered on them. She pondered all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Listen, they may not have understood his purpose fully, but he did. He did. He said, I got to be in my Father's house doing my Father's business. And because of the protection that Joseph and Mary offered him by obeying God, his word, and having spiritual vision, Jesus was able to walk out his purposes. So as the Father cared for Jesus, so the Heavenly Father cares for you. That's my first point. Here's my second point. The Heavenly Father loves Jesus, and he loves you. He loves you. Now the love of God the Father was so great for Jesus that even the devil recognized it, right? The devil himself quoted the scripture to Jesus, Matthew chapter 4, verse 6, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. He loves you so much, he's giving his angels charge over you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So the devil knew that God the Father was looking after Jesus, and he knows that God the Father is looking after you. He knows that. That's why he comes. Same way he came to Jesus and was tempting him. Why do you think he comes and tries to tempt you? He's trying to get you off God's path for your life because he's looking after you. He loves you and he cares for you. This is what Jesus himself said about God the Father and how he sees us, you and me. Matthew 6, 25 and 26. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? You know what he's saying? He goes on to talk about the grass of the field. He's saying, if God the Father takes care of the birds of the air and the grass of the field, how much more will he take care of you? Because you are more valuable to him than they are. Hey, what he's saying is he loves you. He loves you. There's an old song. If his eyes on the sparrow, then I know he's watching over me. I was about to break that out, but it wouldn't have sounded good. I see. No, I'm just kidding. If his eyes on the sparrow, he's watching over you. He's saying God loves you. God the Father cares for you. To him, you are more valuable than they. We've got to know that we are valuable to God, and we've got to know and live in that. We've got to live in that revelation. We've got to know that he loves us and that he will take care of us. And one of the ways that he showed us he is always loving us and that he's always looking out for our eternal good is by sending Jesus himself. You see, the great love of God the Father was not only demonstrated to Jesus as he walked the face of this earth, but it was also demonstrated through Jesus to us. God the Father sent him with that purpose to show us his love for us. It's one of the most popular scriptures in the world, John 3, 16 and 17, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8 says, the Lamb, Jesus is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. His love for us, his love for you, his love for me is so great that he protected the only sacrifice that was sufficient enough to wash away all the sins of the world. His love was so great that time and time again, he sent revelation and he gave vision and dreams to direct that lamb to the cross so that you and I could be saved. And I really just want you to know today that as he cared for Jesus, as he protected Jesus, as he loves Jesus, so he loves, cares, and protects you. Why? Because Jesus was sent with a great purpose, right? We just read that. And he was sent with a divine plan. But so do you have a great purpose and a divine plan here on this earth. You may not understand that yet. You may not even realize that. But as much as he had purpose and a divine plan, you have purpose and a divine plan for your life, written on your life by God. But I got to tell you this, without spiritual vision, we can't make it, right? It's through a vision of the gospel, right? We hear the gospel, our eyes, our spiritual eyes are open. It's through a vision of the gospel that we're saved, and we declare Jesus Christ in faith, and we believe we receive his grace. It's through vision that he directs and he guides us every day and every step of our life. It's through vision that he'll keep us from pitfalls and temptations and all these things that will try to pull us astray. It's through vision that he provides for us. It's through vision he keeps us locked into our purpose. And just in case anybody's forgotten this morning, I just want to remind everybody here, Jesus died for you. He died for you. His blood was shed for you. The stripes that he took on his back were for your healing. He came to give you life and life more abundantly. He came and he said, I'm sending my spirit. I'm going away. It's expedient that I go away, and I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to endue you with power to be my witnesses. He came to leave an example for you and for me. He chose you and he chose me. And not only did he choose us, but he delivered us and he set us free from the mess that we found ourselves in. And right now he said in John, I've gone to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you can come and be also. And until he comes and he comes and gets us again, or until our time is up on this earth, what are we supposed to be doing? It says, occupy until I come. We're to be walking out and we're to be fulfilling the purposes and the plans he has for our lives. Sometimes we get so caught up. Listen, he says be looking for him, but sometimes we get so caught up looking for him that we're not doing anything for him. But he said, my spiritual nourishment is doing the work of the Lord. That's what he said. It's doing the work of the Lord. Look, we just talked about the Word of God is and how we should take it in. We should read it daily and we should pray and we should attend church and all these things daily. That's great. But if all we're doing is taking it in, we got a lot of spiritual obese people if we're not doing anything when we go out. We're just spiritually just keep on gluttons. We're spiritual gluttons, and we don't go out and do the work. But Jesus said, hey, not just taking it in is my nourishment, but doing the work. We eat and get energy to be able to move, right? A lot of us are eating, and then we don't do anything for the kingdom. But you got to realize he's got a plan, he's got a purpose, and he's got something for you to do. Occupy till I come. Be looking for me, but do something. Do something. Man, none of this is in my notes. Somebody needs to hear it. Do something. He cared for Jesus. He protected Jesus. He'll protect you. He loved Jesus. He loves you with that same measure of love. He had a plan for Jesus. That's my third point. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for you. Now, I'm sure there's a lot of people that may ask, well, how do I know it's for me? How do I know? And I'm just going to give you his word, not mine, to answer that, right? Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. John 1:12, but as many as received him, anybody that receives him, right? As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Romans 8:14, for as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8:16 and 17, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. I love this. And if heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. We are joint heirs. The same measure of inheritance Jesus gets. He says, I'm giving to you. You're a joint heir with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. Listen, his love for you is so great that he sent his son to die for us. He protected that lamb from heaven till such a time as he would be offered up as the sacrifice for the sins of the world. And then he allowed his love through that to be spread abroad in our hearts. He opened our spiritual eyes to give us vision so that we could see the wonderful gospel and the grace of Jesus Christ. And upon us receiving and believing on Him, we receive the full pardon of our sins. And so now we are what the Scripture calls as justified. Justified by grace. Man, there's no greater story than that. There's no greater gospel. We've been justified by God's grace. We didn't have to do anything to earn it. He sent His Son to pay for it all. All we got to do is receive. It's a gift. It's the gift of salvation. We had to freely receive it. Because you can try to give me a gift all day long, but if I leave it sitting at the door, if I don't open it, it does me no good. You got to receive it. You got to believe it. So we're justified by grace. And because we've been justified by grace, how many have been saved in the house this morning, right? Well, if you haven't been, you're going to before you leave. But because we've been justified by grace, now that we have spiritual eyes and spiritual vision, we may not have seen it back then because we didn't have the spiritual eyes and the spiritual vision then, but we can see it now and we can look back on our lives and we can declare with David, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I know that accident should have taken me out, and I don't know how I made it through that alive, but I know now, because I've been saved and justified by grace, that God had a greater purpose for my life, and so now I know why I made it out. It's the gospel. He wants me to share my testimony with somebody else. I know I shouldn't be able to be free from those drugs or that alcohol addiction that just had every part of me, and I couldn't seem to shake loose from it. But then I met a man who saved my soul and set me free. And now I'm freer than I've ever been, and I'm free indeed. I know why I'm set free now. It's the gospel. He has a purpose for my life, and He wants me to witness and tell other people what He did for me, He can do for you. If He set me free from that, He can set you free from that. I have a purpose. Because of that divorce or because of that relationship, they said I should be messed up and out of my mind by now. They said I should be institutionalized. They drove me crazy. I don't know how I made it out, and I don't know why I made it out. Those kind of phrases have filled our vocabulary for far too long. As believers, we can say, hey, I know why I made it out. I know how I made it out, because He's got a plan. And He's got a purpose. And there are other people who are hurting that need to hear my story so they can know that there is hope in their life too. The Lord's got something planned for me. That feels good to say it. Just say it. The Lord has something planned for me. I've turned into a spitting preacher. I tell you, it's like fire in my bones right now. The Lord has something planned for you. The Lord brought me out of that pain to bring me into His purpose for my life. He brought you out of that pain to bring you into purpose. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Says the Lord, I know the thoughts I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you what? Future and a hope. Romans 8:28-32. And we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, those He also called. Whom He called, those He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? I love this. If God is for us, if God is for me, who or what can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Listen, I love every single person in this room, but y'all didn't bring me any kind of salvation. I've been justified by God's grace through the finished work of the cross. We care too much what people think about us. It's time to shake the opinions of man off of us and just worry about pleasing God. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. My God! Everything the enemy has meant for evil, you know what? God says right here earlier in this chapter, I'm going to turn it for good and for my glory. Why? Why would he do that? Because he loves you. Why would he do that? Because he has a purpose for you. Why would he do that? Because you've been justified. Why? Because he is for you and not against you. Why? Because Jesus himself is sitting at his right hand and he's praying for you. He's praying for you. Every day that passes puts us closer to the coming of the Lord. Every moment. We're closer than we've ever been. And I know, you know, there's an old saying, old people have been saying Jesus is coming back since biblical days. Well, that's because he is. Simple. But he said, you don't know the day. You don't know the hour. Stay looking, but stay busy. We live like he could come back right now, but we plan like he's not coming back for another 1,000 years. So we can pass down to the next generation. Every day that passes puts us closer than we've ever been. And you got to know you have an important role in declaring that he is coming so all people can be ready. Just as John the Baptist in Jesus' first advent, John the Baptist went through, before Jesus ever started his ministry or anything, John the Baptist was going through all of Judea and all around, and he was saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Repent. Prepare you the way of the Lord. He was declaring. Before Jesus ever started his ministry, John the Baptist was declaring this. And because, how could John the Baptist do that? Well, John the Baptist read prophetically what was getting ready to happen. He read it, and he knew that the Lamb of God was coming to take away the sin of the world. And he said, prepare the way of the Lord. And so because he saw it coming through God's word, he had spiritual vision, he began to say what he saw coming spiritually, right? In other words, what he saw through the prophets and what he saw through the scriptures, through spiritual vision, he began to declare. And this is what I see. Man, I'm getting ready to close. This is what I see. I see and I know and I declare. Yeah, he's coming again. Hey, man, he's coming again. But I believe before he comes, we're going to see another great awakening. Right? Another move of God where miracles, signs, and wonders take place. And it may not look like we've seen before. It may not look what we've experienced in the past. But it'll be however he chooses. It'll be his way. His will, his way. So I don't know what it looked like. I don't care what it looks like, what it sounds like, however it comes. Whatever it costs us, this is what I said. I just want to be a part. I just want to have a part in it. I want to see hundreds of thousands and millions of people swept into the kingdom of God because they know that they have a God that loves them and that cares for them and has a purpose for their life. I see Acts chapter 2, verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Listen, we can't say what we don't see, or we're just guessing, right? But I can open up his word, and I can see what he's already said, right? And I can declare with confidence, he's coming again, right? I can declare over you that God loves you and that he has a purpose for your life because I can open this and see where God himself said it. I read it to you, Jeremiah 29:11. He loves you. He wants to give you hope. He wants to give you future. I can declare that to you. I can declare that your sons and your daughters, our sons and our daughters, will prophesy. You know what prophesy means? It means to declare the word of the Lord. Our sons and our daughters will declare the word of the Lord. Whatever that looks like, whatever it sounds like, they're going to declare the word of the Lord, right? I can declare that our young men will see visions and that our old men will dream dreams because I see it right here in his word. So I declare it and I'm believing it. The world, the entire world today is looking for truth. They're looking for answers. All of us are looking for truth and looking for answers in our lives to all of our questions, right? About our purposes and our plans and really what's to come. But I got to tell you, unless we get to a place where we can see how He loves us and cares for us, that He has a plan for us, we'll never really be able to relay that message to other people. God is wanting to raise a people up who can declare what they see. And to do that, we first got to know, as He protected Jesus, so will He protect you. We've got to see and we got to know that as He loved Jesus, so He loves you with that same measure of love. And as He had a plan and as He had a purpose for Jesus, so does He have a plan and He has a purpose for you. I want everybody to stand to your feet. He wants your life to be used for kingdom purposes. The real question is, just like as God sent messengers to Joseph and to Mary and said, this is how it's going to be, right? I didn't even mention this, but the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and said, Hail thou, Mary, blessed are you among women, right? And he begins to say, hey, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and that which is conceived in you shall be called the Son of God. And after all that spill, you know, that's a lot to take in for a young woman who's getting ready to be married, knows the culture that she could be shamed and all this. She knows all the repercussions that could come with her being not really married to Joseph yet and then being seen pregnant by all her peers. And how she would say, well, an angel appeared and the Holy Spirit came upon me and I conceived. She knew there would be people that say, yeah, right, you hussy. Right? Come on. We see it today. She knew all that, but at the end of it, she said, whatever you said, so be it. Here's the question we got to ask ourselves. If God's calling to us and saying, I love you, I care for you, I got a plan, I got a purpose for your life, I want to use you. I want to use your testimony. I want to bring you out of what's got you bound. I want to set you free from that. He said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I want to set you free. But it takes a daily decision. I'm going to die to myself. Jesus said, if anybody would want to be my disciple, let him first deny himself what we want, take up his cross and follow me. You know, that's not popular preaching anymore, but it's just Jesus' words. That's his words. Deny yourself. Sometimes we got to lay down the pleasures of this flesh so we can enjoy the fullness of God. And I said this a lot of times. What we lay down and give up, it's nothing compared to what we gain when we come to a relationship with Him. There's nothing that compares. So the real question is, are we going to say, whatever you say, Lord, so be it. If you say to lay that down, I'm going to lay it down so I can fulfill the plan and the purpose for my life. If you say, keep my mouth shut, don't respond, then I'm going to keep my mouth shut so I can live out the plans and the purpose of your life. I'm not going to be distracted and detracted by the devil. I'm going to live out your will, your way. That's what John the Baptist prayed. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. Listen, I know I preached hard, but that's just how it came out today. But there's a message the Lord's wanting to get across to you because you're here. And I believe there's probably something in this sermon that spoke to everybody here because I'm telling you, it spoke to me as I'm making notes. But if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, I don't know him. I don't truly know him. I know all about him. I've been in church. Maybe you've been raised in church. Maybe you don't know anything about church or him, and this is the first you're hearing of it. Or maybe you've been around it most of your life, but you've never came into personal relationship with him. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's you, and you say, Pastor Andrew, I don't know him. I'm not 100% sure that if I left this world today or if Jesus came back, I'm not 100% sure that where I'd spend eternity. I want to know today. I want to make a decision to say, so be it. I want to be a child of God. If that's you, throw your hand up. Put it right back down. I want to know him. I see him. Yes, Lord. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, listen, I've been in relationship with him, but I know I'm just not as close to God as I used to be with him in the past. I've kind of had a slow fade going on. And I'm just the fire's not burning the way it should be, and I haven't really fanned that flame, and I'm just not in that relationship status with God that I should be, and I got to get back on track. And I know that, and the Lord's speaking to me this morning. If that's you, throw your hand up, put it right back down. See him all over the room, right? Maybe you hear this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, you know what? I've really struggled in my heart and in my mind knowing that God loves me, that he'll protect me, and that he has a purpose for me. But I want to live in that revelation today. If that's you, throw your hand up. I want to live in the revelation he has a purpose for me. All right, everybody look at me. This is what we're going to do. They're going to sing. When they begin to sing, if you raise your hand for any reason, or maybe you should have, but you didn't, I want you to come to this altar, and I want you to allow God to do what he needs to do in you. This is a time between you and him. This is what's going to happen, though. I'm going to go ahead and give you a heads up. Wednesday night, the Lord spoke to me. He spoke to me, and he said, Andrew, I'm going to tell you what he told me. I told them Wednesday night. I spoke last Sunday about the fire of God, fanning the flame, right? Pastor Reed Wednesday spoke a little bit about the fire, showed an old video from the Brownsville Revival, and it was just a powerful service here. And we really, we just stayed in the altar. And as I was in the altar right over there, I was on my hands and my knees, and I was just praying to the Lord. And I said, God, I can't be the husband, I can't be the father, I can't be the friend or the pastor that you've called me to be without you, without your spirit leading me. And I need you to lead me and guide me. And you always just tell me what to do, and I'll say, so be it. So be it. And he said, then I want you to tell the people something. He said, you tell the people, my people, to live on the altar again. And I said, okay. What does that mean? It means die to yourself. The altar was where sacrifice was made. And he says, what do you got to do? If you want to be my disciple, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The cross was an altar where the sacrifice. All right, but if we want to be his disciple, we got to die to ourselves. So that's what he meant. Live on the altar, die to yourself. Die to your worldly pleasures, your fleshly desires. Die to that and live for him. All right? That's what real salvation is. We die to the flesh and we come to life in the Spirit of God. That's why we're born again. He said, so live on the altar. So I'm just giving you that word. If that speaks to you, when they start to sing, you should probably come. Live on the altar. There's probably some things in your life you need to die to. Maybe there's some pride in your life you need to die to. Maybe there's some addictions in your life you need to die to. He said, so tell the people to die to, live on the altar, die to themselves. Here's the second thing. He said, I don't want you to close another service without giving a call for people to experience the fire of God. If you're going to preach it, you better live it. And so that's what I'm going to do. Every service, I'm going to say, if you want the fire of God, you want to fan the flame, come up here to the altar. We're going to pray for you. We're going to fan the flame. So there's your altar call. If you raise your hand for any of those questions, or if you got some dying to yourself to do, or if you just want the fire of God in your life to burn bright and be contagious, I want you to come to the altar.
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.